At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. Back to the conversation in just a second. Might I suggest, if you're looking for new glasses, or even contacts, or sunglasses, Warby Parker. I've been using these guys for 10 years now. I've been wearing their glasses, and I love them. They have some of the best designs, in my opinion, out there. They do them all in-house. Their collection has silhouettes, colors, fits, made for really any type of face. And the options for how you can pick them out, wonderful. You can go to one of their stores. There's over 250 across the U.S. and Canada, and get stylized by their friendly expert advisors. Or if you're like me and you'd rather just do it at home, they'll send them to you. Go to their website. You pick out the frames you like. Pick out those five. They send them to you. Pick out those ones you like. Send them back. And if you want to try more, they'll send you more. It's lovely. You can just kind of keep going until you got exactly what you want. In my experience, it's been like one trip. I found like actually several within the box they send that I like. You got to check them out. Warby Parker glasses, they start at $95. So it really is super affordable to get such a quality pair of glasses. It includes prescription lenses with anti-reflective, scratch-resistant coatings. Many Warby Parker locations offer comprehensive eye exams starting at just $85. And you add a pair and you save 15% when you purchase two or more prescription pairs and glasses or sunglasses. The offer is available both at home and in stores with free shipping and free 30-day returns. Can't tell you enough about these guys. Like I said, been using them for 10 years and there's a reason for that. Get started with Warby Parker's virtual try-on. You can try on glasses and sunglasses, seeing the realistic color, texture, and size of each style right from home right now. Or head over to warbyparker.com/ghost right now to take the home try-on quiz and pick five pairs of frames to try on at home for free. That's warbyparker.com/ghost. warbyparker.com/ghost.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Some stories stay with you long after you hear them, chilling you to the bone with their quiet, unrelenting terror. This is one of those stories, and a child alone after school feels the eyes of something they cannot see. The fear is so palpable that they retreat to the safety of a makeshift fortress, clinging to a desperate sense of control. But what if the fear was justified? What if the things lurking just out of sight were real and waiting? This tale doesn't rely on fleeting moments of fear or unexplained sounds in the night. Instead, it draws us into a lifetime of uncanny events, inexplicable encounters, and a connection to forces beyond comprehension. Were these experiences shaped by a haunted mind, or were they evidence of a world we cannot fully understand? Let's get to the letter. They write, "I've never shared my full story before. For as long as I can remember, I've felt the presence of something otherworldly in my life, something lurking just out of reach, always watching. It's been there since I was a child, and as I've grown older, I've come to realize that what I experienced wasn't mere imagination. I'll start at the beginning, because that's when the fear first took root. I grew up in a modest home in a quiet, unassuming neighborhood. It wasn't the kind of place you'd expect to harbor dark secrets, but from the moment I began staying home alone after school, I sensed that I wasn't entirely alone. My routine was the same every day. I'd come through the front door, toss my bag onto the couch, and make a beeline for the kitchen. That's where I built my fortress. Between the electric stove and the pantry, I'd wedge myself into a small corner, pull a chair close for protection, and wait. My back against the wall, my knees pulled tight to my chest. I'd sit there for what felt like hours, my ears straining for sounds, my eyes scanning for shadows that didn't belong. I didn't know why I was so afraid, but I knew I had to stay hidden. It wasn't just the silence that unnerved me. It was the overwhelming feeling of being watched. Not by someone, but by something. Above me, I could almost sense it. dark, heavy shapes just out of sight hanging near the ceiling. I never saw them, but their presence was undeniable. They didn't move, didn't speak, but their cold, detached observation seeped into my bones. The strange thing was how quickly the fear would evaporate when someone else came home. The moment my sister or parents walked through the door, the tension would vanish, as if the unseen entities didn't want to be noticed by anyone else. I'd get up, brush myself off, and go about my day like nothing had happened. And yet the next day, the cycle would repeat. As I got older, I pushed these memories aside, dismissing them as the product of an overactive imagination. But the experiences didn't stop. They simply evolved. One night, I lay in bed staring up at the stars through my bedroom window. I fixated on a single bright point of light, letting it calm my restless thoughts. But as I watched, something strange happened. The light began to move, not like an airplane or satellite, but slowly, deliberately, as if it were alive. I told myself it was just a trick of my tired eyes, but deep down I knew it wasn't. That night I had one of the first of many nightmares that would plague my teenage years. In these dreams I'd be frozen in place, unable to move as a loud droning buzz filled my ears. The sound was almost unbearable, like a swarm of bees trapped inside my skull. At the same time, I felt something thick and warm pouring over my body, a sensation so vivid it stayed with me long after I woke. But there were times when the terror didn't wait for sleep to take hold. One night, when I was still young enough to share a room with my dad, I woke suddenly to find myself bathed in an intense blue light. It wasn't like moonlight or the glow from a street lamp. It was precise, controlled, and impossibly bright, as if someone had shone a perfectly focused beam directly onto me. I couldn't move. I couldn't scream. All I could do was stare up at the light and feel its weight pressing down on me, as if it were searching for something within me. When I finally found my voice, I screamed, and my dad bolted upright in bed. The light disappeared in an instant, leaving no trace of its existence. My dad brushed it off as a bad dream, but I knew better. As these experiences piled up, I began to question what was happening to me. Were these episodes just vivid dreams, the product of stress or fear? Or was I truly being watched, followed by something that defied explanation? One afternoon, while gazing out of the kitchen window, I caught sight of something that solidified my belief that these encounters weren't figments of my imagination. A massive, wing-like aircraft flew overhead, flanked by two smaller jets. It moved quickly, silently, and with an unnatural grace. Its edges were rounded, its color a dull, metallic brown. At first, I thought it might be some kind of military test vehicle. But as it disappeared beyond the horizon, I realized how wrong that assumption felt. Its presence left me unsettled, as if it weren't just passing by, but observing me in some way. Not long after, I had another encounter that still baffles me to this day. I was outside with a group of local kids, fiddling with a low-powered telescope under the early evening sky. Someone brought up UFOs, and I joked that if we looked hard enough, we'd probably see one. The words were barely out of my mouth when a series of bluish-white lights streaked across the sky in a tight, V-shaped formation. They were unlike anything I'd ever seen. Silent, fast, and pulsating faintly, as if alive. I shouted for the others to look, but by the time they turned their heads, the lights were gone. Years later, I came across an account of the famous Texas Lubbock lights, and I knew in my gut that what I'd seen was the same phenomenon. These were just the beginning. The events only grew stranger, more intense, and more terrifying as the years went on. As I moved into my late teens, the strange events began to escalate, becoming more personal and impossible to ignore. It wasn't just fleeting lights in the sky or unexplained noises anymore. Something was actively reaching out, pulling me into its orbit. I remember one night vividly, riding my bike to visit my sister at a house where she was babysitting. The clouds were thick, roiling in the night sky, but I could feel something beyond them. It was as if The sky itself was alive, watching me, shifting with a consciousness I couldn't comprehend. When I stepped inside the house, my sister offered me my first drink, vodka, a tall glass of it. I don't know if it was the alcohol, the charged atmosphere, or something else entirely. But as I sat there, I felt an overwhelming sense of something moving in the sky above us. I couldn't see it, but I could feel it. An intelligence, malevolent and ancient, swirling in the clouds like a predator circling its prey. I tried to brush it off as my imagination running wild, but the sensation stayed with me long after I left the house. It wasn't the first time I felt the sky itself was aware of me, and it wouldn't be the last. The experiences weren't confined to the outdoors. One afternoon, while sitting alone in my room, I felt a sudden overwhelming pressure in the air around me. It was as if the very fabric of reality had shifted, pulling me into a space that didn't belong to this world. For a moment, I was frozen, unable to move or even breathe. Then, without warning, the feeling was gone, replaced by a deafening silence that seemed to stretch on forever. I looked around the room, half expecting to see something standing there watching me. But there was nothing. Nothing visible, anyway. As the years went on, I started digging into my family history, hoping to find some kind of explanation for what was happening to me. What I discovered shook me to my core. My grandmother, who had passed away before I was born, was rumored to have had similar experiences, visions, encounters with shadowy figures, and an unshakable feeling of being watched. She had never spoken of it openly, but old letters and diary entries hinted at a connection to the very same entities that seemed to be haunting me. It was as if, whatever this was, it had chosen my family, following us through generations. And the more I learned, the more I realized that my own experiences weren't random. They were part of something much larger, something I couldn't escape. The final encounter that solidified everything happened not long ago. I was in bed, staring at the ceiling, trying to calm the racing thoughts that often plagued me at night. The room was dark, silent, and still. Then, out of nowhere, the temperature dropped. It wasn't a subtle chill, but a bone-deep cold that wrapped around me like a suffocating blanket. I couldn't move, couldn't even speak, as a shadowy form began to take shape in the corner of the room. It wasn't fully human, nor was it entirely otherworldly. Its edges blurred, shifting like smoke, but its presence was undeniable. It didn't move toward me. It didn't have to. Its mere existence in that space was enough to paralyze me with fear. As quickly as it appeared, it vanished, leaving me gasping for breath and drenched in sweat. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night. That was the moment I realized there was no escaping this. Whatever these entities were, watchers, visitors, spirits, they had been with me my entire life, and they weren't going anywhere. I've come to terms with it in a way. The fear is still there, but so is a strange sense of understanding. They're not just haunting me. They're part of me, woven into the fabric of my existence. I don't know what they want or why they've chosen me, but I've stopped trying to run from them. Instead, I've started documenting everything, hoping that one day I'll make sense of it all. For now, I'll leave you with this. If you ever feel like you're being watched, if the hairs on the back of your neck stand on end for no apparent reason, trust your instincts, because sometimes the things we can't see are the ones we should fear the most. Sincerely, Gene, there's something haunting about stories like this, not just because of the events themselves, but because of the questions they leave us with. Was this a life marked by an overactive imagination, psychological phenomena, or something truly paranormal? The line between perception and reality grows thin when experiences like these unfold. Psychologists might point to sleep paralysis or the effects of anxiety, both of which can create vivid, terrifying sensations. The buzzing sound, the inability to move, and even the visions of shadowy figures could all be explained by the brain in a hyper-alert state. The light might be written off as a hypnagogic hallucination, common during transitions between sleep and wakefulness. But can we dismiss decades of consistent experiences so easily? The blue light, the eerie sensation of being watched, and the unexplained aircraft sightings are harder to rationalize. Could there be a connection between the protagonist's story and phenomena documented worldwide like the Lubbock Lights? Or is it all part of something deeply personal, a manifestation of forces tied to their family's history? From a frightened child hiding behind a pantry chair to an adult determined to document and understand their encounters. It's as though their fear is transformed into a strange acceptance, even a sense of purpose. That, to me, is the most unsettling part of all. The idea that these entities, whether real or imagined, have become a fundamental part of their life. And so, we're left with this lingering question. What if these experiences are real? What if they're not confined to just one person, but are part of a broader phenomenon we're only beginning to understand? I'll leave you with this thought. Whether we explain such stories as psychological, supernatural, or somewhere in between, they remind us of just how much of our world and our minds remains unexplored. Until next time, stay curious, stay skeptical, and keep looking into the shadows. Sometimes they might be looking back.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.